Turn with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Book of Deuteronomy, second giving of the law. People of Israel, the first chapter said that they were in the wilderness, right up against the Red Sea. It looked pretty hopeless. Joshua hadn't come along yet to lead them over into Canaan land. And they were kind of stuck out here. All the time, though, the Lord had better things for them if they obeyed. But they were always turning back. In the beginning of this is somewhat about that, and said, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee," it's talking about all the things that the Lord's going to bring up on them because of their stiff-neckedness. And they're always turning back. And he's also talking about the manna that came down from heaven, fed them while they're wandering around out in the wilderness, and cloud to keep them cool by day and a fire to lead them at night. So then he said the blessings and the curse. I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither thy Lord thy God hath driven thee. Go back and look at that blessing. I said blessings, and he said blessing. There is a difference here. He set both before them. And it always leading them on in the blessing and the cursing were the things that they need to be testifying to that the Lord did it. And that and shall return unto the Lord thy God and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. He didn't say anything here about work of the flesh. It's just two things here. The heart and the soul. That's the way man worships. By no other way. That's what was wrong with the law. They tried to keep it according to the letter, according to the works of the law, and not in the faith. The faith is what's been left off in our day, especially. It's the same old thing. It wasn't that people want to do it by their heart and their soul. They want to do something. He said that when the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. For if any of thine be driven out unto the outermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, from thence will he fetch thee. Now all this gathering here and all this doing here was of the Lord. Now, I said they had come to the end of their wits. They were completely without any hope. But the Lord is going to do it. And that's all they needed to do is have faith in the Lord and wait and be patient. He is fixing to deliver them. In the same way when people nowadays, he will deliver his people. And he He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save a people, to save them from their sin. So there must be some progression in the gospel. Otherwise, there is no faith at all. So faith leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. He said, and thou shalt possess it. I'm going to lead you into a land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. Going to take away the filth of the flesh in the circumcising of the heart. It goes back to what we was just talking about. The heart and soul. That's what's important. That's what the Lord looks unto for his people to worship him, is in heart and in soul. It must be from the innermost part of man and not from the outside works of man. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart in the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. This is the only way they're going to live. Another thing, we don't see anything here about what the people are going to do. It's strictly of the Lord. He never does mention what the people are going to do on their own. He's going to lead them. He's going to guide them. He's going to change their heart. He's going to do all these things for them that thou mayest live. And the Lord our God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. He's reflecting back on the law here. And the law was still in effect, the ordinances of the law, and they were to do it. But all of them, every ordinance that was given unto them that it might be the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the ordinances were. It was a preaching of the gospel. And we won't take that away today and make it of the letter, of the doing, of the sacrifice itself that they were offering by their own hands. But that sacrifice wasn't good enough. It was far short of what the Lord required. And he said, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, and in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. And all this was a testimony that they had strayed away. If you want to live, do this, or do this and live. Keep my commandments. And things are no different today. Keep my commandments and live. In verse 10, he said, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law. That's where it's all at. They had the book. They had the word. And it wasn't any different than our word today. Salvation is in none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. The statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now here we are again. More explanation. What's needful? First thing is, Lord, have mercy. And bring grace. That you might have faith. Amen. Then you can keep the commandments. Not in the letter of them, but in the heart of them. He keeps talking about the heart and the soul. We keep them in the heart. He said, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee. It's been recorded. It's been there all time in the letter of the law. It's been there all time set before you, both cursings and blessings. It's not hidden from you. It's not far off. It's not in heaven. That thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Well, it didn't need anybody to go ahead it. It wasn't spoken in any dark place. It was right there before them all the time. What was it? The testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was in all of their worship that they got, that the Lord had given them to do, every piece of it, including the temple or the tabernacle and all the furnishings of it, was a picture of the purity and the righteousness that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in them. Said, neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Well, it's just, you know, unreal that they couldn't see that. But why is that? Because man is in his natural state, is at enmity with God. And they didn't want to hear it. That's what they said. Moses, don't speak to us anymore, lest we die. It was killing them. Well, that's the whole point of speaking to them, that it might slay them in the flesh, and that their heart might turn to the Lord. They may put it away, the circumcision of the heart. The filth of the flesh. Get rid of it. And grow in grace and in knowledge. He said, but the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. People want to lay claim to that today. The religious world today has proclaimed that all man need to do is walk down some aisle or come to some pulpit or some person. And when they come down there, then the Lord, then they turn it around, and the Lord is obligated unto them because they have done what the Lord said. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, in your own faith, you can come down and do this. I say, I've set before you this day, life and good and death and evil. That's what we have set before us also. Amen. The same thing. Amen. The same principles are there. And in that I command thee this day to love. Now here's a whole crux of the situation. Day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Now he just keeps telling them this over and over and over, and they were running around like the Lord ever had told them anything. But they had the whole of the gospel all time. as we do today.
Amen.
We have more sure word of prophecy. We'll look at that in a minute. But and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Land we're looking for now is Beulah land, not Canaan.
Amen.
It's a different one, but same thing. Lord always leading his people and guiding them toward two things, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And one has to be before the other can come. They come at the same time if you can put a time on it. But there must be repentance toward God because man is at enmity. He must be reconciled.
Amen.
Some would have the Lord be reconciled unto us. But we must be reconciled. We're the ones that are enemy of God.
Amen.
Lord's not the enemy of the people. He's offering and give us the gospel even back then, that we might have something to follow. The pattern. Be sure that you keep the pattern. Don't throw that away. Hang on to it. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. In Isaiah, the 45th chapter, look at a few verses here. In verse 15, he said, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. And he does. He's in a dark cloud unto those that search for him any other way outside of repentance and faith. O God of Israel, thy Savior, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. We're in Isaiah 45, brother. Verse 17 now. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. It's perpetual. It makes man grow in grace and in knowledge day by day. He has to grow in the gospel. Ye shall not be ashamed and confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none other.
Amen.
And that's what the old law was telling all time. That there isn't anyone but the Lord that you can look unto. All these other things not do you any good. And how sure is this? And just hold your place there and turn over to 54, Isaiah 54. I think verse 8, and he said, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Said, how sure is this? For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. He's long-suffering, isn't he? But the surety of it is, it's going to be just like the flood that come in the days of Noah. It ain't going to happen no more. And it's recorded all through our days. We never had another flood, have we? Not going to. Seed time and harvest. They fix and go on. That's how sure it is. The surety of it. Verse 19. He said, I have not spoken in secret or in a dark place of the earth, saith, I saith not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And is not this the same thing that he has always said from the very beginning unto the people? So they're without excuse. The law, the commandments, they have always been before the people. And they're without excuse. They're responsible to keep these things. If they can't keep them, they must look unto a higher power that can keep them and purchase the right of life. He said, assemble yourselves and come and draw nigh together, ye that are escaped to the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood for their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. We don't see many graven images today, but we got one. Not graven. By the way, I'll tell you a little story. The Catholics got some graven images, and so is some of the other denominations. Also, I was doing some work on Catholic Church, I believe on Woodway, I'm not sure now, here. And me and the priest, I had this problem I needed to work on. I needed some answers on it. And me and this old priest is walking through there. Sanctuary. And he's having to stop and do all kinds of stuff going through there. And I just wait on him. You know, I'm just dumb as dumb can be. And finally he asked me if we come to one of them Jesus statues. He asked me if I believed that there was a God. And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, why don't you kind of followed my lead, and I said, I haven't seen him here anywhere, you know, before I thought what I, with me and the old father kind of didn't get along for a while real well, but he finally got over it. But I'll tell you another little story behind that, just to tell you the foolishness that's going on. The problem I had at the time, I had this drain stubbed up, and it was going to be for a baptismal. And I didn't know what this thing looked like. You know, I had no idea what it was. So I was inquiring about, well, what kind of plumbing we need for it, you know. Well, we need a drain and need all this stuff. But he said, where does that water drained to? I said, it goes into the sewer. Common sewer out there. Oh, well, wait a minute. I better just hang on. You know, don't do nothing with that right now. Need to talk to the council about this. And guess what? We couldn't put that holy water in the sewer. We had to dig a hole down there and put a bunch of gravel in it so when they got through with their little thing, they could drain it down in the gravel. Can't put holy water. Y'all hear this now. You can't put holy water in common sewer water. Mess everything up. I'd love to have been standing there and hearing their conversation, really. I don't know what all they was talking, but anyway, that's just, you know, some more foolishness. But it isn't that much worse than our Baptist churches and folks are doing now, offering people salvation for nothing. No payment. But there must be payment for sin, and it must be by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't be any other way. And you can't just go down to somebody's pulpit and get it. Don't have this spirit of attitude that you can go into the heaven and bring him down or go down in the deep and bring him up. You can't do it. And you can't go down to somebody's altar or walk an aisle. I meant to bring a little thing with me, a fella gave me a few weeks back. It's a how to be saved. Laid it up on my chest drawers there and I forgot to pick it up. I meant to bring it. But oh, the foolishness is going on today. And it's carrying more people to hell than any other one thing I know of. This foolish idea that somehow they can buy God off. That they can hold him responsible. I've done what I'm supposed to do, so now it is up to you, God. I was a little amused yesterday, watched part of the funeral yesterday. One of the commentators said the Lord wouldn't dare rain on Barbara Bush's funeral. I said, man, my book don't say nothing. Mine says he's no respecter of person. But he wouldn't dare do that. Romans, the 10th chapter. We have very similar thing here. We begin verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now all the people of God have that attitude. They love the brethren, but they love the other people also. With one that would want them to be saved, for bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now they're workers. We see that in our day. They're busy, busy, busy. The church in our area, they've been growing, growing, growing. They have every Wednesday night, they have supper. Everybody comes to supper. Kids got a gymnasium to play in and they've got things. And they're growing. They know how to build a church. They're kind of one, I'm talking about. They have a zeal. They have a great zeal. But not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. They're doing some good works. They're good folks. But he talks here about ignorance. Now that's the reason that he's concerned for them, that they really are ignorant of these things. But that doesn't give them any passage. Man is not ignorant of the true God. All men know there is a God. But this ignorance he's talking about was one that every man falls into outside of the grace of God. He can be plenty, plenty smart and yet be fully ignorant about the things of God. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If we got any righteousness at all, it must flow from God and not from us. No way you can work this out. He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the end of it. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. Oh, it's like this. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Well, you're going to keep the commandment. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? This is not the attitude of people. God. That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. There must be a resurrection outside of that. Man cannot call him up. He can't lay hold to the promise on his own. He said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This word of faith is not the same faith that men talk about today. Nothing like it. The faith that they're talking about today is one that will lead a man to believe with some coaxing that he can come down to anybody, any altar, and pick it up. That's the way they describe it. It's laying right here. It's your gift. But unless heart be made to hurt, unless he be cut to the quick by the circumcision of the heart, then he can't come and get the gift. It just won't happen. You can't fool God. It's the same old gospel that's been preached all along. Nothing any different. Man is under condemnation already. His judgment is past. And the only thing that will save him is saving grace that comes by the power of the preaching of the gospel. Singing convention won't get it either, brother. It's the preaching of the gospel. We may have a little joy and shouting after it comes. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, if you believe that, but men are not going to believe it unless they, like I said, be cut to the quick. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We don't need to do any works of the flesh. It won't purchase anything. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will purchase salvation. Pay the sin debt, the innocent for the guilty. He believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. But man is always in himself, contrary to the will of God. They use these same scripture, by the way, nowadays to show that it is in the will of man and the power of man to get salvation, to save their own souls. But salvation must come by the circumcision of the heart. It must be cut to the quick that it would call out for mercy and grace, which would be found at the mercy seat. You can't get it any other place. Amen. And the mercy seat is not here at this pulpit or on this table. Amen. It is found in Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Look up. I said 2 Peter, the first chapter. Yeah, I was dealing with an old priest. And I'm thinking all the time, boy, how foolish can men be? He was so upright with all his old gown on. Verse 19. First chapter and verse 19, 2 Peter, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Well, it's been there all the time. The same word has been there all the time. But we're even more accountable than the people were under the Old Testament. Amen. Because now we have the whole Word of God. We have all his commandments. So we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. It's going to shine there. And the day star rise where? In your hearts. Go back to the circumcision of the heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of a scripture is of any private interpretation. They all one support the other. And we've been told that since the very beginning. He didn't speak this in any dark place. Men always, in all times, have been under the responsibility to answer to a righteous, holy God. It's of no private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. I heard something this morning, I don't know if I heard it on radio or TV, said that this Bible's most overrated book. Yeah, that it ever been.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write these things. So we ought to take notice that the word hadn't changed, not from the very beginning. Salvation is none other but Jesus Christ. Amen.